I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Beautiful Wednesday afternoon. A little chilly out there. Fall has certainly settled in. I had frost on my lawn this morning in the Fenton High Ridge area. And that was confusing to me. It really was, because I didn't think the temperature was low enough for the frost. I was very worried about my mom, Sue. Very worried.
I understand that, but that's not a hard freeze.
You know, I was telling Sue also, by the way, Alex Rich is here from 198.
I am, yeah. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back.
Well, you know, we're happy to have you.
I'm glad
you didn't enjoy
it too much without me here.
You were gone for 2 weeks, weren't you?
2 weeks. I had the Jewish holiday, and then I had, you know, it's the new year. I know that about 1/13 of you is a
3% Ashkenazi.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
I'm a little bit in the tribe.
Yeah, but well, we accept you.
I said Happy New Year to Mark Gelman a couple weeks ago. I think that checked the box for sure. No, I was telling Sue, Fred, this is a true story. So every morning, this is so sad. My life is rather sad, but I go out every morning and I'm in my sweats, usually my stocking cap, and I look for my grass that's growing. And my neighbors must think I'm like, you know, wandering around confused or something like that. Because I mean, like this, and sometimes this is what's weird. Sometimes I do it like 2 or 3 times and nothing really changes in that time, but I just like to go out there. So there was this one little, you know, I'm filling in bare spots in the backyard, and this is my second attempt. I did really well in the first attempt growing grass, but there's a few spots I wanted to highlight. So I get down to one of them and I'm looking at it every day and nothing's happening. I go out there today and I almost need like a hallelujah choir playing in the background. I don't have that right now, but the soil appeared as if it was lifted off the ground. Mm. It looked like my dog had kind of dug into it or something like that. But you know what it was? It was the beautiful green sprigs of grass coming to life, pushing the soil.
The raised soil is always a good sign.
It was amazing.
It's one of the best feelings ever.
Yes.
When you plant, you go through so much trouble getting this grass
You're
to grow.
You're telling this to me.
It is.
We've planted it 3 times this year.
Oh. You hire me and I'll get you some grass. Okay, last night I went to Sturgill Simpson at the Fox, and I had like a last minute invite. I've seen Sturgill one time in Columbia at Roots and Blues, but not an entire show, and I don't know all of his music. I'm a fan of what I've heard, and like, he does a fair amount of covers. He didn't do Purple Rain last night, but he's known to do that. He did Allman Brothers last night, and then he did this song, and I want to play this to you. Alex, you're a big music guy, but you're younger than Fred and Sue and I, and I want to just see if they know what this is. So this is Sturgill. This is not live from last night, but this is the song, and I just want to see if you recognize the lyrics or anything. So let him sing here for just a second and see if this resonates, because it's not his song. It's a cover song.
Don't look too strange.
I don't think there's any way you're going to get it from this.
Not yet.
I've got nothing.
You know in the end.
Oh, do you know the song a little bit?
Be.
Okay, all right.
Yep,
here we go. Here, listen.
I'm sorry.
You got
the
it now?
Right thing to say.
Yes. Alex, you know this one at all?
Never heard.
No, they can't.
Fred, do you know the song or not? Yeah, you'll know it when I play the original. All right, so this is what the original sounds like. I could have played. See, Sue's singing along. It's called I Promise. Do you know the band, though?
Oh.
I couldn't come up with the band last night.
I can't tell you the band.
No. When in Rome.
Ah, yes.
1987. This was a hit. It was a top 10 hit here in the States for sure.
You'll know this, Fred.
You'll hear it. Yeah,
I do know it now. Yeah.
Well, let me play the chorus, because the chorus really gets it here.
I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking.
Right? So Johnny Holzman and I from the Well Hungarians, Johnny invited me to the show. We're watching and we start listening to the lyrics and we're like, wait a second, I know that song. And then we couldn't place it and I start Googling, you know, The Promise, and then I finally came up with it. But listen to this. So he's got this very understated voice at some points, and I just want you to hear what he does here with the last chorus on this. So just check this out.
For me, I promise you, I promise.
Wait for it.
I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking of.
Man, I get chills when I heard that, right? Listen to this guy.
I know they don't sound weird.
Just a haunting version.
Wow.
But if I had to make you fall for me, I promise you, I promise.
That's incredible. incredible. Wow. And let me tell you something, that was amazing live last night.
That's pretty amazing. I heard you last night say he sounded a little bit like Waylon.
He's got some Waylon Jennings. Well, he rocks, too. And then, you know, this reminded me of something because you know this song, right? Cyndi Lauper, girls just want to have fun. My friend Greg Laswell, who is a singer-songwriter, he has several hundred thousand views of this because he started looking at the lyrics, and you can do that with the When in Rome song. You can see how Sturgill turned it into a country song. But if you look at the lyrics of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, it's kind of a bit of a depressing song, and this is what Greg did with it. In the middle of the night. It's a really stripped-down version, right? My father says, what are you gonna do? And he was well known before that, but when he did that cover, it got a lot of attention. He's a guy, by the way, Greg's a guy that's been, like, half of his songs have been on Grey's Anatomy, so he's kind of known for that.
It's interesting you say that's a depressing one, because that's, Girls Just Want to Have Fun is one of the newer ones I'm adding to my playlist. I'm doing a wedding this weekend, Mark. We are the wedding band for a wedding coming up this weekend, and I've added this to my list.
Well, if you really dig into the lyrics, you can break it down as a song that's not as joyful as Cyndi Lauper's version. Sort of like, you know, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. Everyone thinks that's a bit of an anthem, but that is a dark, dark song. And when he does it acoustic, it is stripped down and dark and angry. So I love it when artists do different, you know, takes on songs. And I thought that was fascinating. And I didn't make it through the whole show last night because I was old and my daughter had to get up for Stanton Singers. But wow, I know the people that were there were blown away. I made the mistake of looking at the rest of the set list, and it looked really good. He even did Red, Red Wine from Neil, because that's a Neil Diamond song.
Well, you talk about people doing different versions. You know, I saw Teddy Swims last week. And, you know, he got famous from doing his cover of You're Still the One and YouTube. And that's how he caught fame.
I am now in love with Teddy Swims ever since you told me about him.
You're a swimmer now.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Love it. If I got Fred on board for some music, I feel like I can do
just
about
anything.
Who was
on Teddy Swims?
I got Mark. Mark was sending me Teddy Swims.
Thank you for acknowledging. Let's do this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Now, this is not a happy on this day in history, but 24 years ago in 2000, the small plane carrying Missouri Governor Mel Carnahan, top aide Chris Sifford, and piloted by his son, Randy, not Chris's son, but Mel Carnahan's son, crashed in Jefferson County and killed all three of them. Do you remember this story, Fred?
I remember. I was at home. It was a stormy night, and I had to come back down to work because of the accident.
I remember driving to do my morning show at WTMJ in Milwaukee. I had left Missouri, and I knew Chris. I had an interesting relationship with Chris because I teased him a lot when I was in Columbia, Missouri. I actually started calling him Governor Sifford because Mel would never do interviews.
That is 100% accurate.
So
Sifford,
he was a really good, talkative young. Yes. He actually dated an ex-girlfriend of mine at the time. But so this is how I knew I got to him, because I started calling him Governor Sifford. And it got back to me that kind of annoyed him. And, you know, I teased him quite a bit. So I didn't really consider him a friend, but we had a media relationship. But I was driving to work that morning, and it was probably, I would get to work at 3:15. It was probably 3 in the morning listening, Fred, to like the ABC newscast at the top of the hour nationally, and they covered that story.
Chris Sifford, we worked at News Plus and did traffic, and he was, you're exactly right. Mel would not speak, but Chris always would. Carnahan was running against John Ashcroft at the time for Senate. And he won the election, Carnahan did, and they appointed his wife, Jean, to do that. That was 24 years ago today. Now, yesterday I talked about this.
Mel Carnahan in 2024 would be a Republican, like a conservative Republican.
Seriously.
Just so you know.
We talked yesterday about the Luke Combs and Eric Church's benefit show concert for Carolina. They had this huge demand for tickets. Well, they've decided to live stream it. Okay, I am not aware of this. What is Veeps streaming? Alex, do you know?
I don't.
Have you guys heard of it?
I'm embarrassed that I don't know.
V-E-E-P-S, Veeps.
You know what? I actually threw on my Fire TV the other night, and it came up for the first time, and I thought to myself, what is that? It was like a new app on the TV that I had not seen before.
Well, I hadn't seen it at all, so that's where you can watch it. if you weren't one of the lucky 75,000 fans to get tickets. It's only $24.99, and you have the option to donate more if you're able, and it's kind of a cool thing. Okay, so
when I go to the website, it says the premier home for live music.
Oh, see?
I think this is actually a great, yeah, it's yeah. great for the benefit, obviously, for yes. charity, but I think this is great that they are probably going to start doing for a lot more concerts. If you can't afford to go to concerts,
you can
stream a concert.
Now, I will tell you that we all thought that was a great idea during COVID, and it didn't work out very well, but they say on here, this will make more sense to you,
okay.
So it says the official streaming partner of Live Nation and Ticketmaster, so they're thinking out of the box. They have a bunch of comedy specials
okay.
and some originals, but that's interesting. I'd never heard of it before.
I hadn't either. So there'll be Luke Combs, Eric Church, Billy Strings, James Taylor, Keith Urban, blah, 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 and the Avett Brothers, I guess.
Avett Brothers. They're
Thank
awesome.
You,
they're
Avett.
From North Carolina.
And all of them will be on there, so if you want to watch that, go right ahead. Okay, Green Day's Dookie album recently made the 13th album to be certified double diamond by the Recording Industry Association of America. We have a little bit from that. It's got a long enough intro that I can say this. So, only 13 albums have hit the 20 million sales mark, and this is now number 13. They just made it in.
What was it, 20 million?
Yeah.
I heard you crying loud. That is an amazing accomplishment.
Do you have some
it
others
is.
That are on that list?
I do. Are you ready?
I'm
Thanks
excited
for
to
asking,
hear.
Alex.
You
we
like
have
that?
Some samples here this afternoon.
She teed that up for me.
I did. It just came on. This was the old... This is the one that made it on before. This one from Shania Twain has 20 million as well. 1997 from her album Come On Over.
I love Shania. I just loved her. And I still do, I think. She turned me, you know, as many males at the time that hated country music, into a country music lover, Sue.
Yeah,
and I know
sure.
it's
she's
not like
adorable,
the type of...
I get it.
But she's a hell of a performer. I've seen her three times
is.
In concert.
Yeah.
She works very hard. She also, you know, Mutt Lange, who was the producer of Def Leppard and other artists. Mutt and Shania, that was an incredible songwriting and producing pair.
Until he had an affair with her best friend.
Well, that happens too, you know.
But yes. And then above Shania Twain, Fleetwood Mac, and of course this album.
One of the best songs ever.
Yeah. Love it,
the
love
art
it,
of the 2.5 minute song and Lindsey Buckingham here really is incredible.
Speaking of affairs, they were all married or something at one point or another, everybody in the band.
True.
Fleetwood Mac, weren't they?
Yeah. That is literally one of my favorite
Same.
Songs. If I had to pick like my top 15, it would. I don't know if it cracked the top 10, but it might.
Same. It might be in my top 10.
Me too.
Rumors, Fleetwood Mac, in 1977, this album came out. It sold 21 million copies. And that, by the way, is considered double diamond. That's
right.
what
That's
this
right.
is called. Okay, now I'm going to skip a few and then go to number one. Number four is Cracked Rearview. Hootie and the Blowfish has 22
oh, wow.
million.
Our friend Tim Summer signed
That's
that
right.
band, right?
Billy Joel, Greatest Hits, 1 and 2, 23 million. Garth Brooks, Double Live, made 23 million in sales. Pink Floyd, The Wall, 23 million. Led Zeppelin, The Beatles' White Album, sold 24 million. Hotel California by the Eagles, 26 million. Back in Black, AC/DC, 27 million. Thriller, Michael Jackson, 34 million. And wow. this sold the most albums ever. It's another
tequila sun. Nice job hitting the post,
Thank
too.
You. Yeah. Stirring slowly across the sky. Said goodbye.
I love
Do
it.
You want to guess how many? This is from their greatest hits, 1971 to 1975, The Eagles. The Thriller album sold 34 million. What do you think the Eagles, this album sold, Fred?
38.
What do you say, Alex?
I'm going to go 42 for
that's
some reason.
That's
Damn it, I was going to go 42. I'm going to go 42 and $1, Sue.
Fred is dead on.
Oh,
38 million albums. So there you have it.
And my at Rick's Resort, my friend Rick Niner in Las Vegas, I'm going to regret this decision. So you know what happened? They're playing Sphere. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing it right is what I heard. You know, I've been the outlier on the U2 show, and I wasn't crazy about the U2 show. I'm the only one, apparently. But I said at the time, Sphere is amazing. Someone's going to go in there and do it right. I heard great things about the Dead and Company show, but he's going this Saturday night to see the Eagles at Sphere. And let me take you back to July when the tickets went on sale. And he said, hey, you want to come? Because I go to Vegas all the time.
Sure.
I've seen the Eagles enough times. I don't need to see the Eagles. Then the reviews started coming out for this show, and I'm going to really be mad that I'm not going.
Mark, when you say they do it right, what does that mean within the Sphere?
Well, so what my criticism of the U2 show was, the as a rock show, it was something that didn't impress me. The visuals and everything were great because of Sphere, but it just didn't seem cohesive and tied together. And Rick and I both agreed the technology here is amazing, and someone's going to go in here and really try to do something maybe a little bit more unique. Look, U2 was the first time, the first swing of the bat. And I'm an outlier. Not everyone agrees with me. They thought that the show was amazing. But when you start the lyric on a dark desert highway, you're going to see behind the Eagles in the Sphere desert highway, and you're rolling.
That's
and,
cool.
You know, the visuals of that place, it's a little overwhelming. Like, I had to look away a few times when I was at that U2 show because you
it's
feel
a
like,
lot.
Yeah,
and you're right.
It is a lot. So.
Is it like going to a what you call it movie at the Science Center? The
Omni-Max.
Thank you.
Well,
yeah.
It's
is
like
it
that.
Like an IMAX only on steroids.
Steroids, absolutely.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, and finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. All right, the 42 NFL players with the most points in their careers are all kickers, right? I mean, that's just
makes
how
sense.
It is.
Sure.
Yep. But the 43rd highest scoring player is
Tom Brady.
Good question. Nope.
Really? Not Tom
for
Brady.
Throwing them.
Okay.
For scoring.
Well, but
crossing the line. Himself.
Okay, like Emmitt Smith or somebody like that.
I don't know. I really don't.
I don't know.
Jerry Rice.
Oh, that
Jerry
does make sense.
Jerry
okay.
Rice, who is a wide receiver. And that's it for Sue's News.
Thank you, Sue. That's very good. I like that. Nice random fact. We're coming back. I do have a grocery. We had a music quiz. I have a grocery store quiz for you coming up. Brett Baer's interview with Kamalala at 5.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I was in a little country mood after the Sturgill Simpson show last night, so I thought we'd go a little Brooks and Dunn.
I'm a reader.
Although Sue always points out that this is not the original version of the song, but I still like the Brooks and Dunn version, right? Alex Rich from Y98 hanging out. Fred is here. I just put a picture up on the X, formerly Twitter, and you can always follow me at Mark Reardon, KFTK, of my grocery cart from this morning at Walmart in High Ridge.
I have
my
a question.
Favorite Walmart. Yes, yes, Sue.
What is under the banana?
Yeah, that was a good question.
Let me
Sue.
Look here.
Thank
it
you.
Says Cinex.
Oh, those are meatballs. And they're, the brand there, yeah, what is it, S-I-M-E-K, they're frozen meatballs that I make tonight, for example, with my pasta, my Rouse spaghetti sauce, and my pasta, and my meatballs.
That
I like
sounds
my meatballs.
Good, actually.
It really is, they're really good, so, but that's one of my items. So what I have here is, and you know, there's an interesting tie into this, because you see the Wavy Lays, the party size Wavy Lays?
Yeah.
Well, the party size Wavy Lays, that's what the regular size used to be. There is no party size anymore.
Oh.
I was going to say, it doesn't look that party.
No,
but
it doesn't.
It does
not.
It's
not a huge party.
But before we get back to the grocery quiz, let me indicate this. This was an article that came out today in the New York Post. PepsiCo is trying to win back customers turned off by shrinkflation, which is what I'm addressing here, with a special promotion that offers more chips in bags of Lay's, Doritos, Tostitos, and Ruffles.
Smart.
The company told CNN that bonus bags of Tostitos and Ruffles will contain 20% more potato chips for the same price. Yeah, how about bonus bags? How about all of them? Because I can't even believe. Well, let me get back to the grocery quiz. So I pick up, as you can see here, just a few items this morning at Walmart, right? I was actually shopping for a vacuum cleaner, believe it or not. A Dyson, like, cordless vacuum cleaner that was on sale, but they didn't have it, so I ordered it from Dyson.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, but I got the Wavy Lays. I got the whipped Philadelphia cream cheese. I got the Great Value Greek yogurt. Didn't want to buy the better brand.
I get that, too. That's the same brand.
It's not that bad. You know,
no,
you can buy the more expensive stuff. Got some strawberries there. I have two bananas. I have some Colby Jack, Great Value Colby Jack cheese. I have Lender's Plain Bagels, and I have a 24-pack of Diet Coke in my meatballs. Did I mention the meatballs? So you want to take a stab at what that is? I mean, maybe you won't be surprised by this, but I just am curious.
All right. I don't buy a lot of this, but I'm going to go for, I'd say like 55, 60. I'll say 60 bucks.
Mm, okay. Alex?
I was going to say like 46.
Okay. Fred, what you Fred guessed earlier, like,
and
legitimately.
Here's what I did.
So.
I saw 9 items. I assume everything's $4. Mm-hmm. So I said $36.
Yeah. Alex was closest, but you, I
46,
think,
did I just
went
go over?
43. But what I thought was, and I wish I actually had the receipt. There's a part of me that wants to keep this and then do the same thing in a year. Like, buy the same products in a year.
That's interesting. You ought to do that.
But the whipped freaking cream cheese was $3.97. The Colby Jack was $2.24. My meatballs were $6.98. The bagels were $2.46.
That's some cheap meatballs. Can I just say?
How much were the meatballs?
$6.98.
How many come in that bag?
Yeah.
I don't know, but they're good meatballs.
Because you figure a pound of meat is...
There's not a lot.
Exactly. If you're going to make your own meatballs, you know.
Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know how many are in there, but 40 maybe? Something like that? Strawberries were $2.92. They were on sale today. The bananas were pretty cheap. They were just 43 cents. Look at that. The Lay's, this is the thing. The party size Lay's, $5.44.
Really?
That's ridiculous.
That's nearly as expensive as frozen meatballs.
Half of that bag is filled with air.
Yeah. And that's what, by the way, that's the kind of price you would pay at like the convenience store just a few years ago, right?
This was at Walmart?
Yeah. And then the Diet Coke, this got me a little bit, and this is where you get the price spike. $13.48. Now, that's on me, because I make these decisions, right? I didn't have to get the Diet Coke. Here's something interesting. I love Jeffco. I love my peeps in Jeffco, even though I'm in St. Louis County. Want to hear the tax rate in Jeffco?
Yeah.
5.3.
Wow,
try to do that
low.
In St. Louis County.
Yeah, no
I
way.
I mean, you're paying, where you live at that Loughborough Schnucks and the Lowe's, it's over 10% because they have the special business district taxes.
Right.
That's
unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I bring that little grocery quiz up for a reason. I think people can relate to this because in my mind, and I don't think this is too far off the mark, if I would have bought those same things 3 years ago, that's like $25.
Let me ask you this,
maybe 30 bucks.
At what point, at what price point would that Diet Coke have to get to really get you to consider?
Oh, there isn't one. Well,
I mean, you'd think you'd pay $40 for that case
of
Diet Coke?
Not. I'm just going to tell you, Sue's probably right because it is my addiction, but I have reached a breaking point. When I'm going up, and I'm the person that does the grocery shopping, so if I'm going up and down the aisles, I wish I could think of an example from today, but I'll reach for something, I'll look at the price, and I'll say, I can't justify that. It's like $7 or $8 when it should be $3 or $4. I told you about buying ice at the Fastlane. Now, that's a convenience store, but it's $6.50
for a bag
big bag of ice. Right. All right. Another topic here. I want to see, and I don't know how much interest you have in all of this, Sue, but I kind of waded into the Monsters, the Menendez brother thing, and I'm on episode 6 now, and last night was very interesting. Alex, you said you've watched this, right?
I am. I'm on episode 7, I think, now.
Wait, you guys, is this a new one? Because I think I watched an old one.
The Monsters one is what I'm talking about.
I don't think, I haven't watched a new one.
Ryan Murphy is big producer, has done a lot of the stuff out there, the O.J. Simpson, series, etc. This is one of the biographical crime drama anthology series that they do on Netflix. And it's, of course, about the murders in 1989. Some of us remember this very well, of Jose and Kitty Menendez by their sons, Lyle and Eric. And the episode that I watched last night, well, first of all, this thing is getting some mixed reviews for sure, and people are concerned, and these guys are in the news again, trying to get new trials and saying that they're the victims. The whole thing, if you go back to what happened with the murders, remember, they kill their parents, they go on shopping sprees, they're spending all the money of the inheritance, and then they get arrested for the murders, but they claim that they're victims because they were abused by their parents, sexually abused, and in some ways just in awful fashion, right, if you believe what they say. Now, last night was fascinating because I had watched the first 4 episodes, and I'm watching this 5th episode. And about 8 minutes into the 5th episode, I'm noticing there has not been an edit. And the episode features Eric Menendez in a prison room at a table being interviewed by his lawyer. Actress is playing Leslie Abramson. And all you see is the camera angle is from behind her head. You see her curly hair. You don't even see her face. You hear her voice. She's asking Eric Menendez, the character, the actor here, is really, really good. I'm going to predict right now he's going to win some awards for this. Cooper Koch? I don't even know who he is.
He is great, though.
He's good. Anyway, so I'm watching 8 minutes in. No edits. I'm like, this is one continuous shot. And you didn't even realize it.
I didn't.
So I kept watching 15 minutes. And it's I cannot look away because this kid is telling this awful story of abuse by his parents. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to tell you what my reaction is. I'd have killed my freaking parents, too, if they did this to
me.
Anally rape you, etc. Awful. And I'm watching 20 minutes into it. No edits.
Wow.
Then it ends. And I looked at the time, like, wait a second, this was not an hour, because most of the episodes have been, you know, from 44 to an hour, I think. It was 33 minutes, one damn continuous shot, no edits. And I looked this up, they did, I think that they said they did it 4 times a day, 2 days. So half an hour, and this guy had, you know, all those lines, it was very emotional. Now, the one thing that I would say, and you saw that episode, right?
I did. But I didn't know. I would never have even guessed. I mean, it was done so well.
Yeah. Well, wow. I notice these things, Alex.
You do. That's I mean, you were a movie critic back in your day.
It makes you very, very sympathetic to the Menendez brothers. Now, I don't know all the facts of the case. Now, there's a documentary out about this. And, Fred, this is even in the news today. So what I read, and I don't like to read about series when I'm still watching it, but I was so curious about this episode because of the continuous shot that I saw a lot of criticism of that, you know, that particular narrative as just playing themselves off as the victims because people think that they've lied about this. I hear that in the subsequent episodes, you're going to see some of those lies exposed. So I don't even know what to believe. What I can tell you is that was still an incredible episode.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm kind of past that. And you do definitely start to question what you had thought from watching the earlier episodes.
Right, but
you
I think that's
question
good.
Yourself, yeah, for
right.
Sure.
I don't have a problem with that because I think that Ryan Murphy's doing this, you know, on purpose. So they're in the news today, though, because they're trying to get a new trial. Oh, my God. You know who's involved in this? Apparently, like, Rosie O'Donnell and some of these
Kim Kardashian's big
well,
into this,
Kardashian's
right?
been on this all the time, right? Yeah. And she knows Ryan Murphy, and they've, you know, had conversations. The guy who played Eric Menendez went and met the real Eric Menendez. Ryan Murphy said, I don't have any interest in talking to these guys, right? So that's what he said. But they're in the news. This is Jonathan Hunt from Fox.
The Menendez brothers are potentially now just weeks away from freedom as the campaign to reconsider their case gathers pace. Around 30 members of the extended Menendez family, along with attorney Mark Geragos, gathered outside a downtown L.A. courthouse today to voice their support for the brothers just 2 weeks after Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon first said his office is taking a new look at the notorious case.
So I don't know where this will take us. And I'm not going to sit here and make the case that these guys are victims and that they should not have been convicted of murder because I don't know that independently. I just know that the show has been pretty effective in what I would call the push and the pull because good shows will challenge you this way and you don't know exactly where it's going to take you. And, you know, you're going to have a period in those first few episodes where you think these guys are monsters. Oh, my God, they blew their parents' faces off literally with a shotgun. But then you hear about the abuse and some of the things that both the mother and the father did. And if any of it's true, it's really kind of horrifying.
You know, it's interesting what I think Netflix and a lot of these series have done for multiple cases. You think about this one, you think of, remember back to Making a Murderer with Stephen Avery?
Yeah, but that was all BS, Alex. That's the problem. Making a Murderer was a documentary about Stephen Avery, who was completely guilty. I was in Wisconsin when that case was taking place, I know all about Stephen Avery,
sure.
Right? And he could not be more guilty. Anyone, you know, Dan O'Donnell, who's a friend, and he's on the show from WISN in Milwaukee, Dan covered that trial. Anybody who was there for the trial, there's not one person I know that will tell you that he's not guilty, because he is guilty. That's the thing.
Sure.
So
it definitely brings attention back to these cases that people may have never even heard of.
Right, but that's a cautionary tale because, again, here you got Geragos and the family, some of the family members. Look, they're probably people related to O.J. Simpson, like maybe his kids who didn't think that he brutally killed their mother. But he did.
Yeah.
But he did. So the family's going to be confused and they're not going to want to believe this stuff. I think they're just asking for a new trial, though, aren't they?
Or a different sentencing. a different punishment, that sort of thing.
And they've been there for, 30 years, right?
Yeah, and it seems like I heard the attorney, Mark Garagos, say, if these were the Menendez sisters, this would be a totally different story.
So that's interesting.
Well, I would say this. You know, maybe there is something to that. I would recommend the show Monsters.
Sure.
However, it's tough.
It's really tough to get through. Some
but that episode
stuff.
Last night, wow. We're coming back. All right, we're going to get you up to the top of the hour here, and then Brett Baer is going to take over with his interview of Kamala Harris. Alex, thank you for coming in on this Wednesday afternoon. It's good to see you.
Hey, you as well.
But we're going to get to our Kamala Harris interview and see if Brett Baer is going to ask some tough questions. So we're going to air that from 5 to 5:30. He said that it would probably be a half an hour. Sue, you were asking the question, is it live? It is not live. We were told that she was coming. She had events earlier today. She was going to come in around 4. They were going to do the interview. Half an hour is what he estimated. And then they're flipping around unedited. That's the key, because 60 Minutes didn't exactly do that. And they won't even release the transcript. So she's going to have a half an hour. Hopefully, you know, he even said in his preview, maybe getting her to try to answer some of the questions that have not been asked of her yet. So I'm kind of hoping that the trans sports issue is asked. We'll see what happens. We got a break, though, and we're coming right back. It was almost like we ended the break. We're going to start the break. Brett's coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk. Hang in there.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser-told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.